It's always a privilege when I come here to minister is with my good friend, Pastor Steve. He's on holidays, and I can make fun of him, and I can tell his stories about him, but I'll spare him today. But Pastor Steve is a good friend of mine. He's one of the closest friends I've had for the last 9-10 years. He's impacted my life in so many ways, and I'm so grateful to have a friend. You know, when you're in ministry, you need a good friend. And I can say Pastor Steve is a good friend, and so I appreciate all the wisdom and the love and the, you know, and you know, you guys have a good pastor, honestly. If I don't have a church, I know I'll be coming here. You know, because he's a good pastor, he's a good friend. Thank you. But this morning, you know, let me just welcome my friends from Jubilee that they just came with me today. Michael and Jerry, and then Kevin and Andrea. I appreciate you guys coming this morning. You know, as I was praying about what to share this morning, what I'm going to share this morning, I haven't shared it in my church. So, and this has been working in my life for a little while now. And I was going to share it this morning, tonight. I may share some of them tonight at our church. But so let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 12. Is there any way I can bring this up a little bit? Oh, okay. Romans chapter 12. Nowadays with technology, you know, I don't carry my Bible as much anymore, but I'm working on the. I still read my Bible at home with my paper bag, you know, with my paper Bible. But when I'm going, it's easy to just, instead of flipping the papers, makes noise, you know, never mind. But Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, let us start with verse 1. It said, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's a message on itself. Here, the writer of Romans was saying that that our living, our life should be lived according to the word, and not only that, but we should live holy and acceptable to God. It should be like a sacrifice. It should be like something that you give up yourself and totally release yourself. That means the Bible says you no longer live, but the Christ that lives in you. You are totally abandoned for Christ. That's as if I want to unpack this. That's a different thing altogether. But what I'm going to say this morning, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, he was transformed by the renewing of his mind, by seeing the way the Father thinks, by looking at the way the Father sees things, by seeing the kingdom of God advance, the kingdom of God comes down to on this earth. That means Jesus Christ was on this earth, but he wasn't living an earthly life. His mind was focused on the kingdom. His mind is no longer on this earth. So what I'm trying to say is that Jesus Christ, at the time when he was in this world, he's not impressed. He's not impressed with the kingdom, with this world stuff. He's not impressed, or neither is he intimidated with this world. He was transformed by seeing the way God sees things. And I'll share you some of my stories that God has blessed me with, and God has impacted my life with. And when you are transformed by renewal of a mind, you are not impressed by the world's problems. You are not impressed by how big the problem is. You are not impressed by how big the number is. You know, some people, let me give you my story. The moment I get a big bill in the mail, a lot of people say, "Oh." Or the moment you have a problem, and I'm saying, "Oh no, not again." Actually, the moment I have a problem, I say, "Thank you, Lord." Because I don't see the problem as a problem. I see it as a solution. I look at it as a solution. I see it the way Christ sees things, because I'm not impressed by the big, big numbers. I'm not impressed by the problem. The problem does not intimidate me. And here, he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That when your mind is renewed, you're no longer what? You're no longer earthly bound. You are in a realm. You are in the glory realm. You are in another level that the enemy cannot reach you if you're transformed by the renewal of your mind. I'm not talking about fantasies. I'm not talking about the way we think. I'm talking about living in a reality that you are above certain level. You are above you are above the atmosphere. The enemy can intimidate you. Because when your mind is renewed, you're no longer part of the enemy's domain. Okay? You are in a different level whereby, you know, you're shielded by the kingdom of God, that the enemy no longer sees you as a wimpy, sees you as a threat. He doesn't no longer see you as poor, he sees you as a rich person. He no longer sees you as a person who is walking with fear. He sees you as a person who walking with confidence and boldness, and knowing that if he crosses your path, he's in trouble. Renewing of your mind means you walk closely with God. You talk with him. I'll give you an example. One of these, in the last 3 months, I have a car, and it's an SUV car. I love this car. We bought a cottage, and I'm just trying to let you understand how the enemy works. You know, here we are, we bought a cottage. The same week we bought a cottage, my car died. I mean, the same way you got a good news, you're so excited that things are, wow, God, you did this. Wow, I'm excited to go and take over this cottage. I've been thinking about it, how I'm going to enjoy the place and the water and all sorts of stuff. Then my car died. Then I went to the mechanic. The mechanic said, sorry, it's the timing belt. You cannot be fixed. So that means I have to. I mean, you spend that kind of money on the cottage. Now you have to go and buy a car. And Myself and my wife, we look at ourselves in the eyes and say, no, 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 no. You won't spoil our joy. No, 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 no. You know what? This is not our problem. We have been transformed by the renewal of our mind in a way that we don't see the problem as a big problem. We see it as a nitty-bitty. You know when they said, nitty-bitty devil. Is that what the song, that's a song people sing? It's a big, big God and nitty-bitty devil. That's the way we see it. That's what we say. So we said to each other, we are going to enjoy this. We will not let this thing stop us. And we put it on a back burner. And we didn't even talk about it anymore. We said, Lord, that's not our problem. That's your problem, God. And it was his problem. Because we've been transformed by the renewal of our mind. When to the point that we don't believe that what the enemy is doing anymore. See, a lot of Christians believe, you know what? One of the ways the enemy works is when you agree with him. The power of agreement. The Bible says that when two agree, it shall be what? It shall be established. It shall be what? Established means it has been, it's done. When two agree. So when the devil brings troubles, okay, Lord, okay, whatever. And you just give in. You've agreed that, yeah, he's won the battle. You've agreed. So we refuse to agree with the devil. We say, you know what? This is not our problem. This is God's problem. He gave us this credit and we're going to enjoy it. So, and that week went by and that same week, I'm just saying this for you to hear me. I'm not trying for you to hear me out. That same week, before the car died, I went with Michael to a meeting in Brampton. We went to Brampton. Michael is my worship director there. So we went to Brampton, and the Lord told me to take $1,500 with me. All right? It doesn't make sense. He said, take $1,500. So I took $1,500 with me, and I went to the meeting, and the Lord said, give this woman $500. So I gave her $500 without even thinking. And I was about to leave, and I went back to, we were just about at the door to leave, and the Lord told me to go, Zach, you still have $1,000. There's a woman out there who is a worship person. Can you go and give this $1,000? No, actually, it's $2,000. I gave $1,000. I gave $500 to somebody, and I gave $1,500 to another person. That's the same day. $2,000 gone. And I came back from Old Sound. We went to church, and we came back. The next day we came back, my car died. And I'm saying, what is going on? And this is Zach, it's none of your business. You've been transformed by the renewal of your mind. You no longer think the way the world thinks. Because when you have, the Bible says, in this world you face so many trouble, but I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world through us. So anyway, so on Thursday morning, I went to the bank. And I went to the bank and the bank manager come and said, they normally call me priest in the bank. So the bank said, priest, can I talk to you? No, they tell us, and you know, they put something in your bank account. They put some message there. And the teller can say, priest, the bank manager wants to see you. And I said, why? You know, I used to be an investigator, okay? Since I used to be an investigator, and I investigate people who embezzle money. Okay? So when the bank manager wants to see you in an office, it's not fun. It's only when you want to see the bank manager, it's different when you call the manager. But when they want to see you, there is a problem. So my training kicks in, all right? The bank manager wants to see you. I said, no, why? He said, no, she wants to see you. And I said, okay. So I went to the office, and she said, sit down. And I said, I'm not sitting down. I know when I sit down, the next thing they'll call the cops. So I wasn't going to, you know, my training kicks in, all right? So I wasn't sitting there. I said, look. He said, no, priest, I wanted to sit. I said, no, I'm not sitting there. He said, well, I have something for you. I said, what is it? He said, by the way, somebody came on Monday. Huh? Remember I gave $2,000 away on Monday? Somebody came on Monday evening. Since I released the $2,000, somebody came on Monday evening and deposited $18,000 into your bank account. I said, what? He said, $18,000 into your bank account, and they want you to buy a vehicle. Look, my car died. I gave up $2,000, and somebody deposited it. I mean, that's a good deal, all right? That's a good deal. So somebody deposited $18,000 into my bank account. So I asked the bank manager, who? He said, I can't tell you. I said, who? I want to thank the person. He said, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. But when you buy the vehicle, I want you to bring me the receipt so I can see that you spent the $18,000 on the vehicle. So I went back to the bank and showed the bank manager and said, you know what? I would like to know your friends. But when you have been transformed by the renewal of your mind, those things that look so difficult become so easy. When you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, you are no longer earthly bound. You are now kingdom bound. You bring in kingdom principles to this earth, and the earth has to listen to the kingdom principles. They have to listen to the kingdom principles. And here the Bible says that be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And let me continue with this. You say what? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove that the will of God is. What is the will of God? The will of God for every one of us is to live like Christ. The will of God for every one of us is to live and breathe and walk and talk and do like Christ did. That's his will. His will for us is to have a productive life, to defeat the enemy, to be freedom, and to be free in so many areas. And a lot of us are bound by the world. We're bound by problems. A lot of Christians are bound by one problem after the other, after the other, after the other, because they either agree with the devil, or they are defeated and they submit to what the enemy is doing. And I'm saying to you today that the Bible says when you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, you are sitting in heavenly places with Christ. You look at the world differently. You no longer look at the world. You no longer look at your world as being defeated. You look at your world as being victorious. Things around you has to change. And when problem comes, I'm not saying if problem comes, when problem comes, when sickness comes, you're no longer what? Impressed by those things. You're no longer being intimidated by those things. You're no longer being distracted with those things. One of the ways the enemy does is that when problem comes, he distracts us from focusing on Christ, and we focus on the problem rather than focusing on the one who's bigger than the problem. And I'll end with this. In John chapter 15, he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, in whatever you ask. Let me read that. John is after Revelation. No, I'm just kidding. Just wanted to make sure you know your Bible. John chapter 15. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and to be granted, it will be done for you. This is what the Bible is saying. Listen to this. It said, when you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, when your mind is being renewed, it means you're no longer thinking the way the world thinks. You're no longer seeing things the way the world sees things. You're no longer being enticed by the world's wealth. You're no longer being enticed, or you're no longer being enticed by what's going on around you. You're no longer bound by fear. You're no longer bound by what you think. When you renew your mind, you abide in Christ. And when you abide in Christ, when you abide in me and I abide in you, whatever you ask, what he's trying to say is that whatever you ask means, whatever you need means, it means that you are no longer enticed by certain things. So when you ask something, it is something that you ask God, and it's within his rhyme, it is within his will, and he'll give it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when you ask something, a lot of us are so greedy. We ask things that absolutely you know that God is not going to give it to you. Look, let me tell you this. This is how it works. If I give you $100 to do something with it, and you come back and in the next 3 months, and the $100 hasn't produced anything, all right? And you ask me for $1 million, do you think I'll give you $1 million? No. But when I give you, just like the parable when I give you $100 and you produce $20 addition to the $100, if you ask me for $1 million, I know the million will get $200,000 extra. And what he's saying is that, and when you abide in Christ, and when you abide in Christ, or when you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, when you are no longer earthly bound, when you are no longer part of the devil, you are no longer part of this world. You are in the world, but you are not part of the world. You don't think like the world thinks. You think like the way heaven thinks. You look at the way heaven looks at things. That when you see things, you see the way heaven looks. Your thinking becomes like the way heaven thinks. And when you abide in him and he abides in you, because you see the way heaven thinks, because it's not only the way you see heaven, the way heaven thinks, the way you think the way heaven thinks, you know that those things that is in heaven that you can ask and will be granted to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Say, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Whatever you ask. Because you abide in me. Because when you abide in me, you know what you need. You know what is in heaven that you can pull down from heaven on earth. You know what it is. That's why Jesus Christ, if you read the whole Bible, Jesus Christ doesn't ask only, he only asks what he needs. He doesn't ask beyond what he needs. And because he asks what he needs, God gives him anything else attached to it. He's no longer earthly bound. He's worldly bound. And I'll conclude this, my second closing, all right? When you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, you don't see the problem as big. You see the problem as little. When you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, you look at the world differently. You look at the world as God invading this world. God, you are in a rhyme of God. You are in You are in a different atmosphere whereby you see things the way God sees things. And not only that, God answers your prayer like that. Why? Because you no longer do the things the world does. You start doing the things heavenly does. And when you do things the heavenly does, earth has to submit to heaven. Earth has to listen to heaven. Then your life begins, you begin to live. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's no longer you. See, the enemy always wants to copycat Jesus. He always wants to copy Jesus. And when Jesus came, when the Bible says, I am sent me, when Moses said, I am sent me, that I is different from I. But Moses spoke the word because he pulled heaven down to earth. That's why he told Pharaoh, I am sent me. And when I am sent me, Moses moved into another atmosphere where the enemy cannot reach him. That means the person who wanted to kill him before could not kill him because he's now moved to a different, he's in a different dimension. That's why he could go into front of Pharaoh and say, let my people go. This is the guy who wants to kill him. And I tell him, let my people go. Why? Because he's in a different atmosphere. He is speaking with authority. Because once you renew, once you've been transformed by the renewal of your mind, the authority in you changes. The world and the earth will listen to you as you speak. My final closing, all right? If you abide in me, in the realm of the kingdom, because Jesus said, Jesus is the kingdom. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you ask anything, it means nothing is impossible because you live in the abundant supply of God. You live in that abundance. When you ask anything according to his will, you live in that abundance. And when you see things, always seeing things the way God sees things, things around you begin to shift. You shift the atmosphere around you. You turn the atmosphere around you. People say to me, we're having a conference coming up soon in November. A lot of people ask me this question. How do you get these guest speakers? Because I live in a certain realm that when I ask according to his will, it will be done. When I ask according to his will, it will be done. I see things differently from the way the world sees things. Let's all stand up. Yes, Lord. If you want to leave, it's okay to leave. If you want to stay for us, for me to minister, you can stay and we'll see what God does. Just want to let you know, let's everyone close your eyes for a few minutes. Anyone else? God wants to set you free tonight, today. God wants to set you free. That's why, I know what he can do. I know what he can do. He's a big God. He's a big God. The God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who can put $18,000 into my bank account? Would I even know? I don't know how they got my bank account. I don't know how they got in there. That's not my issue. The same God can do the same to you and can change your life forever. Forever. It starts with a seed. It starts with you taking a step and saying, this is, I am going to change this. I am making a step. I'm taking this step because I've been touched by the King of Kings, the Lord of all, by the words He's spoken this morning. If the message that I spoke this morning has resonated with you, that you're still living the way the world lives, you still think the way the world thinks, today God is calling you this morning for you to be renewed by your mind, to be transformed by the power of this word. And the Bible says the word that I speak in John 6:63, the word that I speak are spirit and are life. Those words that God has used me to speak this morning are spirit and are life to you if you let it transform your life. If you let it transform your life. So I'm giving you an opportunity today. I have my people to come and help me pray. But if you are here this morning and this message has really resonated with you, and you need a transformation, you need a transformation of the renewal of this mind, the way to renew this thinking that we have, so we can focus back on God. Our focus can be translated to God's kingdom. You can come forward and let me pray for you. Let's pray for you. All right? Other than that, have a good night. Have a good day. We bless you. Appreciate you guys coming. And thank you, Pastor Steve, for the opportunity to come and share a word on your pulpit. I'm not taking this lightly. I'm taking this. This is an opportunity. It's a privilege. It's an honor to share on your pulpit. And I thank you, Pastor Steve. I thank you for the leadership here. I thank you, Rob, and the team. Thank you so much. We bless you. We bless this church. Actually, let me give this word to the church. I know Pastor Steve is not here, but let me give this word to the church. You are the hope of this community. You are the hope of this community. This community will change. I see this building is going to be bigger. You're going to be so full that you have to expand this building. Lord, I pray that you bring the money that they need to build a bigger building. And I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.